Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. Looking forward to this dialogue and discussion together. We're going to be talking about a subject today, a different gospel. What is progressive Christianity? Or, if you like a different title, are you worshiping in a church that is a progressive Christian church? What does the word progressive mean? How does it fit politically, socially, economically, and spiritually? Progressive Christianity, a different gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to this dialogue and discussion together. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of my philosophy or feeling. It doesn't make any difference what I think, say, or do. It's what does the Word of God say. The final arbiter of truth is the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any other time in history that we are so needful of truth than in the current day in which we're living. We need the truth in our hearts and lives. We need to understand what is truth. It's not a matter of some say. It's not a matter of what Joe Biden and others may say. It's a matter of what's the Word of God say. Truth is not something that's veritable. Truth is not something that is based on an individual's opinion. Truth is based on the facts of Scripture. From Genesis through Revelation, the Bible is the Word of truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you, study the Word, read the Word, meditate on the Word, allow the Word of God to permeate your heart, direct your life, be a lamp unto your pathway and a light unto your feet, that we might be what God would have us to be in the society in which we're living in today. Let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that you can dial. That number gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can hear what your thoughts are. And I encourage you to call. This broadcast is designed around you, our listener, to get you involved in the issues of life. And as we face the issues, we do so from a biblical worldview. Biblical worldview means that we look at what the Scripture says as the first, foremost, and final arbiter and authority on the subject. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to announce to you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking for their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner. The brands like Honda, Echo. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators, and with a staff that is very knowledgeable on what you need and can answer all your questions about backup power equipment, especially for the hurricane season. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is Tools for Time. That's right at the intersection, ladies and gentlemen, of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the gigantic 40-by-80 flag flies on a 165-foot pole. Look for that flag at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and 295, and you'll find Tools for Time. Or look them up on the website, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to this dialogue and discussion together. Let me remind you that we're living in perilous times. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what we are facing today in society. It's applicable to your life and to mine to realize and recognize that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a different gospel. And quite frankly, I had a struggle with what to call the broadcast. I usually like to give it a title or name. I could call it a different gospel. What is progressive Christianity? Or better yet, are you in a progressive Christian church? Ladies and gentlemen, in today's political climate, we hear so much about the progressive agenda. The word progressive seems to connote being ahead, being in advance, on the cutting edge, or modern, if you will. Progressivism is in reality today a full-blown socialism system, which is communism light. But let's just look at the word for the benefit of a basic starting point. Ask the question, what is progressivism? Progressivism, according to the dictionary, is the support for an advocate or an advocate for social reform. It is as a philosophy. It is based on the idea of making progress, which asserts that advancement in science and technology and economic development, social organization are vital to the improvement of the human condition. This article further says, in defining it, progressivism in the early 20th century, as well as now, takes the view that progress is being stifled by vast economic inequality between the rich and the poor, minimally regulated by the laissez-faire capitalism with monopolistic corporations, and intense and often violent conflict between workers and capitalists, thus claiming that measures were needed to address the problem. Contemporary progressive promotes public policies that they believe will lead to positive social change. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, that gives a basic generic understanding and dictionary definition of progressivism. And we're finding that in the political movement today, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an unusual thing to find it. Political progressivism is bad enough, but today the idea, this mindset, this philosophy, this ideology has permeated the church. Today we see South Bend, Indiana, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, one of the socialist presidential candidates that perhaps typifies what I call what is happening in our church today. Let me just give you a little sketch, if you will, please, of this individual called Pete Buttigieg and how I'm tying this together with progressive Christianity and progressivism within the church. Pete Buttigieg is openly gay and married to a man. Moreover, he is the only major Democratic candidate actively talking about his faith in God. His faith in God. Buttigieg, as a homosexual married to a man, zealously advocates the pro-LGBTQ issues. When it comes to the issues of abortion, Buttigieg supports an abortion-on-demand system fully funded by the taxpayers of the United States. According to Buttigieg, women ought to have the right to secure an abortion virtually any circumstance at any point during the pregnancy. In addition to his proposal, Buttigieg's peculiarity gravitates around his openly gay lifestyle, coupled with the openness of his version of Christianity. He also mentions God and the role that God has played in his life. I want you to listen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just reading your blurb about this man. Buttigieg represents a new kind of candidate among contenders for the presidential nomination, contenders who are far more secular. Buttigieg declares himself as a candidate of a robust and actual faith. Further, the article says the Washington Post published an article with headlines, "Faith, Not Sexual Orientation, is the Most Interesting Thing About Buttigieg." CNN offered a headline, "Buttigieg is the symbol." Listen, CNN had a headline, "Buttigieg is the symbol for a rising Christian left," end quote. Further, Christian Powers of the USA Today offered this headline, "Mayor Pete Buttigieg's countercultural approach to Christianity is what America needs now." I don't know if you get the point, ladies and gentlemen. Buttigieg's openness about his faith is part of what makes him authentic as a candidate, one of the reporters stated in relationship to Buttigieg, the open, in-your-face sodomite that's running for president of the United States of America, and yet claims he is a Christian, and talks about the fact of how his marriage to a man has brought him so close to God. In fact, he says here, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, one of the socialist presidential candidates that perhaps typifies what I'm calling the what's happening in the church today. Buttigieg is married to a man, yet he openly claims to be a Christian. He says his sodomite lifestyle is perfectly compatible with his Christian faith. In fact, he says that marrying a sodomite man, listen, has made him a better person and moved him closer to God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that mindset about what would be called Christianity. He has a warped, perverted understanding of Christianity. Perhaps, if you will, looking at him and what he is saying, it says his marriage to a sodomite man. He didn't use the word sodomite. I did. That happens to be a biblical word, not homosexuality, not gay, but sodomy and sodomites 38 times in the scripture. It says it's made him a better person and moved him closer to God. Buttigieg has openly criticized Vice President Pence for not embracing sodomite marriages. Buttigieg says, quote, "If Vice President Pence has a problem with me, it is a quarrel with God and not with me," end quote. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, across America, the media will have us to believe that there is something about him that we ought to look at and applaud in relationship to his claiming to be a saved, claiming to be a Christian, and yet living a lifestyle that's antithetical, then it's called biblical Christianity. As much as the general population, including Christians today, churches and all denominations, are embracing Buttigieg's ungodly, unholy, unbiblical claims of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, the core values of biblical Christianity is that which is found in the Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God, speak clearly about doctrinal theological truths. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm in an elongated monologue getting to the point of talking about what is progressive Christianity. Are we to stay in a church? Ladies and gentlemen, when I get through, by the time we finish this broadcast today, I want you to be analyzing in your heart and in your life with some questions. Ask these questions to yourself. Am I in a progressive Christian church? Am I a progressive Christian? Should I adhere to progressive Christian beliefs today? And if you answer any of those questions yes, ladies and gentlemen, you need to wake up, look up, and listen up and understand it's antithetical to anything that's called the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Listen to what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible, the Word of God, speaks very clearly about sin and salvation and the need for a Savior named Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly and openly condemns sodomy, the word found in the Bible, as I said, over 38 times. God destroyed two cities for the sin of sodomy, Genesis chapter 19. Look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then drop down to verse 24 and 25, and you find that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plains about those two cities because of the sin of sodomy. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, according to the scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, anybody, listen carefully, anybody that's involved in the lifestyle of sodomy will die and go to a devil's hell. Now, that's not my philosophy and feeling. That's what the Word of God says. It's irrelevant what you think or say. And I have had those say, well, you know, you're just condemning people to hell. You're pointing your bony finger in my face and saying, I'm going to hell. No, no, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying the Bible says that. God said it, not me. God called sodomy an abomination. And the one that partakes in that lifestyle, he calls a reprobate lifestyle and mindset, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and following. The Bible speaks of a real place called hell and the need to repent of sin and not to flaunt sin and to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord as the only way to go to heaven. So I'm talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, a different gospel. What is progressive Christianity? Are you in a progressive Christian church, as it is called? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've taught down through the years entire seminars on the subject of the emergent church. The emergent church is no more and no less than the social gospel It is no more and no less than progressive Christianity. Let me just read you a few paragraphs from my extensive outline and notes for lecturing on the subject. Bible-believing churches and Christians are being confronted with ideas, terms, and theological doctrines and experiences that are completely redefining the biblical meaning of Christianity in the world today. The Bible, the Word of God, is being assaulted as never before. Satan is on the move. Biblical truths are being replaced with a different Jesus, a non-reality of hell, and a diluted eschatology. The Bible has no literal meaning under progressive Christianity, no literal meaning, and is to be accepted as mystical with little or no absolutes. Sin and salvation are ideas of the past, not relevant today. Further, this subject, ladies and gentlemen, makes they claim in the emergent church and in progressive Christianity, the social gospel, that the make the world a better place to live, fight poverty, and aid the sick, and save the planet. It's nothing more than social justice. This new wave of Christianity, Christians experience, is like a tsunami that is approaching and has the potential of destroying the very foundation of biblical Christianity today. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little parenthetical inset. It is destroying the church today. In fact, every denomination that's embraced social justice and the progressive Christian ideological movement, they are declining, and it's coming to the demise of each and every denomination. There is no denomination that is immune from this destroying fundamental change and the ideas of it. Progressive Christianity is rapidly gaining momentum, gathering in its faith thousands of weak, ignorant, immature, unlearned infant Christians, as well as non-believers and homosexuals that are intrigued with the music and the modern feel of the lounge theater rather than the place of worship. I say further, and I'm reading to you some introductory notes from my lecture outline for the classroom for the college and university on the subject of emergent church and progressive Christianity. The predominantly young participants in this movement would rather have presentations based on personal experience rather than biblical absolutes and biblical exposition. The progressive Christian rejects any absolute. They say the present church, that is the biblical church, has not made worship relevant to them in the modern worship setting. The progressive church seeks and encourages community social action, global justice, and sacrificial involvement in an effort to know by experience God's grace and not something that is to be done internally, but something that is to make one feel good about themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble with what is called the progressive church today and progressive Christianity. This movement says there's no single source of truth beyond the individual themselves. End quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that is something that's outside the realm of reality, you need to wake up, smell the coffee, because may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is real and it's taking place today on a very dominant basis. It is real and is relevant, and we need to understand the theological danger and the damage that is taking place in our churches as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about the progressive Christianity and what progressive Christianity is about, let me just read you an excerpt here. I'm looking in my hand a book called The Unsaved Christian. I've got someplace in my library an entire book that's written on the subject of Christless Christianity. And here's one that is a more modern issue by another author, says, The Unsaved Christian, Reaching Cultural Christianity with the Gospel. On page 36, this book says, Civic religion promotes a God without any definition and a generic faith that demands and asks nothing of the followers. Participants stretch across the cultural spectrum in the age of geography and socioeconomic status. In some areas, civic religion is even proudly theistic and likes the idea of Jesus. Selective words spoken by Jesus in the New Testament will be used and cited when the political cause of the day needs a rally cry. Whether it is government-run health care, the death penalty, same-sex marriage, or immigration, Jesus is positioned as having an opinion that can suit one side or the other, regardless of one's adherence to the authority of the Scripture as a whole. And further, then on the next page, on page 37, it talks about the Christless Christianity. Dr. Al Mohler identifies this as the New American Religion, and its tenets can be summarized, and Dr. Mohler summarizes the idea of the New American Religion, which is called in this book the Unsaved Christian. That's an oxymoron. A Christless Christianity, as another author calls it. Number one, God exists who created and orders the world and watches over human life on earth. A God exists. God wants people to be good, nice, fair to each other, and as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. Number three, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Number four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve some problem. Number five, good people go to heaven when they die, end quote. That's coming from the book entitled The Unsaved Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as an unsaved Christian. You're either saved or you're not. If you're not saved, you're not a Christian. No such thing as an unsaved Christian. But yet, that is what is being touted today. And multitudes are buying into the emergent church and progressive Christianity in modern America today. Ladies and gentlemen, the core values of biblical Christianity is that which is found in the Word of God, the Bible. The Word of God speaks clearly about sin and salvation, the need for a Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the Bible says that the time will come when people, even so-called Christians, will not endure, will not put up with, will not tolerate sound doctrine, biblical truth, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will turn from the truth and embrace fables, myths, lies. That's found, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. We're talking about today the subject, a different gospel. What is progressive Christianity? Are you in a progressive Christian church? That's a question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you that the Bible is replete with evidence that that's what is taking place more often than not. The Apostle Paul, in fact, dealing with the believers at Galatia, the churches in Galatia, dealt with this very definitively. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1:6, I marvel, that is, I'm amazed, I'm astounded that you are so soon, that is, so soon after conversion, so soon after saying that you have placed your faith in Christ, so soon after being saved, as we call it today, that you have so soon removed from Him, speaking of Christ, that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, another gospel. There's a little word for that, eteros. There's two words for another in the Greek text. It's allos, meaning one of another kind. Eteros simply means a different kind, a totally different gospel. The Apostle Paul says, I marvel that so soon after you've removed him from the where he called you unto the grace of Christ, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him, that is Christ, to receive you, which is not another. They've turned to another gospel, a different gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place today. Multitudes in churches, and perhaps you're in that kind of church. You believe in life experiences. You get all enthusiastic about entertainment. You believe that the Bible is simply a book that can be accepted or not accepted, parts and parcels. You simply believe that somehow, some way, it's man-written, and it's not authoritative from the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Paul was talking about when he spoke to those at the church in Galatia. Let me give you an illustration, the two anothers, eteros and elos. Eteros, a different kind. Let's say that I have my watch, and my watch stops running. I take it back to the watch dealer, the watch shop, and I say, I want another watch. This one's broken. Now, that could mean that I want another just like this, but one that works. I want another. Or I could say, I don't want this watch. I want another watch. That means a different watch, a different kind of watch. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about to the church at Galatia, that you have turned from the gospel to another that is a different kind of gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, today multitudes have been deceived into believing and following a demonic lie, and that is called progressive Christianity. So what is progressive Christianity? Just what are the beliefs in progressive Christianity? Ladies and gentlemen, I have an article here in my hand, and I'll just share some thoughts from it, and then we'll go from there, because it is so extensive and so broad in what could be said. Progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity, according to Wikipedia, whether you want to place your trust in that or not, I've read it and researched it, and I believe these statements are correct. Progressive Christianity is a post-liberal movement within Christianity that seeks to reform the faith via the insights of postmodernism and reclaiming of the truth beyond the verifiable historicity and factuality of the passages in the Bible by affirming the truths within the stories that may not have actually happened. You hear what it said, ladies and gentlemen? It's saying that the progressive Christianity seeks to reform the faith, and in doing so, it is a postmodern idea that's reclaiming the truth beyond the verifiable histories. In other words, they're saying the scripture means this when in context it may mean something else. It is taking the Word of God, twisting it, perverting it to apply in your life and in your case or in your church or in your denomination with whatever you believe. This article says progressive Christianity is characterized by a willingness to question traditional biblical Christianity, accepting human diversity, a strong emphasis on social justice and care for the poor and the oppressed, and environmentalism and the environmental stewardship of the earth. Progressive Christians have a deep belief in the centrality of the instructions of love one another within the teachings of Jesus. Further, progressive Christianity says more recently in the United States of America, through Christian involvement in political trends such as progressive movements and the social gospel, a strand of progressive Christianity or liberal Christianity, though outlined in values of good society, it stresses fairness, justice, responsibility, and compassion, and condemns the form of governance that wage unjust war, really on corruption, for continued power, depriving the poor and of other things, excluding particularly racial and sexual groups, and fair participation in national liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want me to just simply clarify succinctly what this is saying, within the realm of progressive Christianity, it is not an adherence to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is simply a fanciful term that simply, just as in progressive political movement, where there is a movement toward the embracing of whatever feels good, whatever you want to do, it is social justice, the social gospel. Progressive Christianity is an embracing of the social gospel, the social justice, which includes feminism, it includes the embracing of homosexuality, it includes the embracing of anything that we'll call antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand we need to listen up. We're going to take a break for the news break at the top of the hour. Be back. Don't you turn that dial. Stay there. Tune in just shortly after the news break for the balance of Let's Face the Issues from today's broadcast.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.